In 1193, what happened, as happened in all of these Turkmen and these, well, the Kurds were part of that Turkish elite. They were not ethnically Turks. But what happened in all of these arrangements, all of these sultanates, is while supreme religious political authority was at Baghdad, the Abbasid Caliphate, the Caliph, even though he was a figurehead, could have a multiple number of agents. And it took a remarkable man like a Saladin or Nur ad-Din to impose a real sense of unity. And that unity was often based on a successful campaign against the Franks of the coast, the preaching of jihad. And in 1193, Al-Adil faced, which what many of these rulers did is you had to satisfy the ambitions of a wider family. These military elites were extended families. There were the sons of Saladin, there were the nephews of Saladin, as well as Al-Adil. And what they did is they parceled out the empire, many of them ruling as emir, some of them ruling as sultans in their own right. And Al-Adil had a tough act to follow Saladin. He initially had essentially the Turkmen armies of the Al-Jazeera. That's all he commanded at the time that the Fourth Crusade was being preached. And that was probably enough. I mean, he had the best military forces. He won the confidence of the Turkish military elite. And he began to subject the other Ayyubid princes, mostly his nephews, in Syria and Egypt to his authority. And it was a good thing that the Fourth Crusade didn't show up. Because at the time that the Fourth Crusade was being preached, there was a very complicated civil war going on in Saladin's former empire, and if they had appeared in force, it is very doubtful that Al-Adil would have ended up imposing his authority and taking as his main domain Cairo in Egypt, which was really the mark, the measure of success. If you were going to run the Ayyubid Sultanate, or to be more accurate, the Ayyubid consortium of sultans. I always think of the Ayyubid Empire as Ayyubid Inc. You know, it's a whole family combine in doing this, and you have to spend most of your time trying to satisfy all your kinsmen. Egypt was the basis for that power. You had to have control of Egypt, control of Cairo, all of those revenues, but in so removing your government to Cairo, you always risked the danger of losing access to those Turkmen armies of the Al-Jazeera, that is the main military forces that put you in power in the first place. And so Al-Adil had a very delicate balancing act between maintaining the most prosperous part of his empire, Egypt, as well as the source of all of those recruits. And he and his son Al-Kamil, the two leading Ayyubid sultans who are so responsible for developing the Ayyubid state, they both faced this dilemma. Now, there were various ways to get around this. One was to start building up really large slave armies in Cairo. There had always been slave armies before. The Fatimids had used them. They had especially used Berbers from North Africa. They had used Sudanese coming up from Black Africa as their infantry. They even had bought some Europeans, apparently, on the European slave markets. But it's with Al-Adil and Al-Kamil, the way of solving this dilemma was to buy large numbers of slaves from the Turkish populations of southern Russia. And there were plenty of these guys available. And as the Mongols come in and cause even more disruptions, there's more slave trading than you would ever want. And we'll find in a moment that the Genoese and the Venetians are happy to oblige in bringing these guys in. And so with Al-Adil and Al-Kamil, you have the building up of these powerful slave armies of Turks, very often known as Mamluks. These are, again, young men taken probably at the ages of 15 to 17. They are removed from their Turkish context, their background, raised as strict Muslims. They do still tend to speak their Turkish language among themselves, and they become increasingly a powerful and a very large professional military caste within Egypt and within the other Ayyubid emirates and sultanates within that greater state. There are still the great tribal armies, and if you can get access to those guys, all the better. But in Egypt, crucial force became increasingly this Mamluk army of you know, 10 to 20,000 men at one point. Now, this was an important advantage that the Fourth Crusade had never come off, that they got sidetracked to Constantinople. Furthermore, we can see in the Crusades that do show up to take on the sultans of Cairo, these are the ill-fated Fifth Crusade that arrives in 1217, later the Sixth Crusade. Well, the Sixth Crusade is The Sixth Crusade is really Frederick II finally showing up. He should have been on the Fifth Crusade and negotiates a treaty. And the Seventh Crusade, the Crusade of St. Louis from 1248 to 1250, especially the Fifth and Seventh Crusades, represented major assaults on the Ayyubid Sultanate in Egypt. They revived that plan of trying to take Cairo, and we'll see in a separate lecture, the Crusaders really gained some impressive victories in both of those operations.